Well, aid groups are devastated and furious by the federal government's decision to cut planned foreign aid spending. The coalition will cut $4.5 billion in foreign aid over 4 years. If they win government, opposition leader Tony Abbott says the money is needed to fund local infrastructure projects. And a coalition government would increase foreign aid when the budget's in a better state.
At the moment, we are borrowing money from overseas to send money overseas in aid.
That's Tony Abbott speaking late last night. Tim Costello is the chief executive of World Vision Australia. He says this cut to foreign aid will come at the expense of children's lives. Tim Costello is currently in St. Petersburg, where he's heading the C20. That's the civil society arm of the G20. I spoke with him a little earlier.
Well, it means broken promises. When the British, with double dip recession, kept their promises. They're double our aid in per capita levels, 0.7, the international promise. We're at 0.37, and now with the coalition reneging on this, going back to 0.33, that's 33 cents in every $100. But more importantly, it is a serious blow to the world's poor. 20% of the AusAid budget is on health. And the World Bank, because of criticism, does it really get there? Does it save lives? Actually worked out that it's $2,000 to save a life. So, macabre as it sounds, this cut is about 450,000 lives. 19,000 children die every day, down from 30,000 because we actually have made these promises and increased aid. So, this is morally serious.
So you say we've made promises, we've increased the aid. The Shadow Treasurer says he'll go line by line through the foreign aid budget to identify what's cut, and the focus will still remain on Asia and the Pacific. If the promises are already made, what sort of programs would you think would need to go to meet this kind of a cut for $4.5 billion?
Well, the signatures for Australia are health. It's treating malaria and diarrhea and pneumonia, the biggest killer of kids. The other big signature is education. So it's impossible to do this without cutting into health and education. And look, I do think this is a really morally serious issue. Bill Gates, who gives as much out of his own pocket as the Australian aid program, doesn't do it because he's a bleeding heart lefty. He's hard-headed. He knows it saves lives. He knows that the world, in signing up to this, which is what the Millennium Development Goals is, to save lives and to give parents who can't feed or give clean water or education to their children, actually is working. That's why infant mortality rates have dropped in the last 7 or 8 years from 30,000 children a day to 19,000 children dying a day. Still obscene, but that is why Bill Gates and other hard-headed private individuals and governments have signed up to the Millennium Development Goals.
Bill Gates, I suppose, is spending his own money. The coalition is considering being in charge of the taxpayers' funds, and the coalition has been talking of a budget emergency. Basically, the shadow treasurer and the shadow finance minister are saying Australia can't afford to spend this much money on aid. It's borrowing, in the words of Andrew Robb, borrowing to fund its aid program.
Well, you can only do this by international standards. When there is difficult times, you have to share the burden. A Tory Prime Minister, David Cameron, who was tempted to do the same, said, we won't balance the books on the backs of the poor. We won't fix double-dip recession with savage cuts in the UK, very tempting, by actually hitting those who are most vulnerable. Look, these are always judgment calls, and that's why the coalition has been saying with Labor, Britain may be at 0.7, 70 cents in every $100. Australia, which escaped the global financial crisis, which is the second wealthiest country in the world after Switzerland in per capita wealth, second only to Norway in human development, healthy and therefore wealthy on both those indexes, but are we wise? We have made a different decision, and blow away the smoke screens and the mist of saying, oh, well, does it really get there and isn't it corrupt? The public think we're spending 5 or 10% of our budget on it. That's about 1.2%. This is probably the most significant impact of any spend that the federal government makes.
This The Labor government has opened the door to this to some degree in the last couple of years. It pushed back the goal, the Millennium Goal, reaching that on a couple of occasions. This has almost become a normal way of finding some extra money. Is the Coalition just doing what Labor did?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And look, the Coalition made a very correct and principled criticism when Labor diverted $375 million to refugees, saying Australia is now the third largest recipient of its own aid after Indonesia and New Guinea. Julie Bishop said overseas aid is for overseas. Well, sadly, that principled criticism has now dribbled into we will spend this money on ourselves.
You're in St. Petersburg for the C20, so I'm not sure if you've been able to crunch the numbers, but the Coalition says this isn't a cut in real terms. This is just pushing back the timeline on reaching that goal of 0.5% of gross national income on aid. Is that how you see it?
Well, the Coalition say aid is for good times and we've got to get the budget in order, and that's plausible. The truth was, when the budget was in surplus and Australia was prospering under John Howard, aid was still cut. It was at its lowest level, 0.24, and then a small increase. We weren't keeping our promises in good times. We're not keeping our promises in bad times. When is it appropriate to keep our promises? That's the question, really, that G20 and other nations ask. And, you know, at the G20, where poor nations from Indonesia to India and South Africa are here, Mexico, Brazil, there is a real sense that the next growth push can't come out of China or Brazil. It's got to come out of Africa. Aid and trade is central to that. That is actually much more significant as a lever for Australia to pull than anything we can do through isolation, through just seeing ourselves as an island continent. Those global levers in a global market actually are our future. So I just think this is deeply short-sighted.
And can I just ask you finally and briefly, Tim Costello, as I mentioned, you're there in St. Petersburg for the C20, which runs alongside the G20. What is the C20?
It's civil society now invited to actually bring the voice of really equity to the table. So we all want jobs and growth. But if growth is only going to benefit the top 5% in the world, it's actually self-defeating. Even The Economist, hardly a left-leaning magazine, said if you get 1% GDP growth in unequal countries, it only lifts people out of poverty by 0.6%. If you get growth of 1% GDP in a much more equal country, it lifts people out of poverty by 4.3%. So The Economist is saying for growth and productivity and beating poverty, you need to address equality. That's really the message of the C20, that we want social protections. We want not just growth that flows to the rich. It actually has to be proportionately shared. That's our message here.
Tim Costello, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
That's a pleasure.
Tim Costello is the Chief Executive of World Vision Australia, and he's joining us there from St. Petersburg in Moscow, where he's participating in the C20.